just before Derek comes and talks to us. Christine's going to come and from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Christine.
If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the way of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Christine. Derek. Just as Derek comes, let's just pray for him. Father, thank you for Derek and all that he's experienced of you this week. And as he speaks, may he know your anointing on him and his blessing.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Christine. Me mum, she never taught in any school. She never went to college. But let me tell you, she is full of every kind of knowledge. She never studied medicine, and yet she always knows the best and quickest thing to do for cuts and bumps and blows. And she's a dandy cook, she is. And when we want to sing, now she can sit and play for us as fine as anything. Then she can make my trousers too, and make herself a gown, and trim a hat that's just as swell as any hat in town. She'll mend a thing as good as new, and drive a nail in straight, and help a fellow with his sums to save him being late. Not entirely true of my mum, but it's a lovely poem, I think. Super. Years ago, when we celebrated Mothering Sunday, especially in our Sunday school, we invited the parents of the children from the Sunday school, and we always invited a mother to be the guest speaker. But since then, I've always thought this was a bit unfair, as it's really a time when mothers should sit back and take a rest and let the men do all the work. So when I got the preaching schedule from Howard, I was pleased that he has now given me that privilege of celebrating all that mothers do for us. I chose 1 Corinthians 13 as I read that passage again. Women in general are rather love personified. If you read it, instead of saying love is patient, etc., put in the word mothers. Mothers are patient. Mothers are kind. Mothers are not conceited. Mothers are not proud. Mothers are not jealous. Mothers are not conceited. Mothers are not ill-mannered. Mothers are not selfish. Mothers are not irritable. Mothers do not keep a record of wrongs. Mothers are not happy with evil. Mothers are only happy with the truth. Mothers never give up. Mothers' faith, hope, and patience never fails. However, not all women have the pleasure and responsibility, and sometimes the heartbreak, of bringing up children. So I'm going to incorporate all women folk as we look at some of those who featured and ministered to our Lord as he walked this earth. Firstly, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not only did she have the pain of living through the 9 months of pregnancy, the backaches, the morning sickness, the kicks in the stomach, to say nothing of the actual birth pains, something that men never have to suffer, thankfully, but also the stigma of and ridicule of being a virgin. Certainly she was a very courageous and very wonderful woman. At Christmas time we read the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Really? If that was the case, then he was no model baby. He was no ordinary human being. Sorry, Jesus. He certainly wasn't like any of our children. Awake every 4 hours or less through the day and the night. No rest for mum during the first few weeks of birth. And mum still had to wash the nappies in the morning, do the shopping, and feed dad as well. And then, when one is sick at 2 o'clock in the morning, as our daughter was, all over the bed and in her hair, who is it that gets up and baths the little one while dad sleeps in bed? Not really. I got up and made it. Of course, it's mother. But have you noticed the lovely tribute to a mother's love and care in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52? It reads, Jesus grew in both in body and wisdom, gaining favour with God and man. He didn't just grow as Topsy did, but left to his own devices, he didn't just grow, but he needed feeding. And who did that feeding of both body and his mind so that he could grow in wisdom and stature? It was mum, of course, because she was at home all day. And it's the same today. Mothers play a most essential part in the bringing up of children, not only physically, but also academically with their homework and socially with their friends. But sadly, it's the mother who bears the greatest heartache when children go astray and has the responsibility of exacting punishment and discipline. Have you noticed in Hebrews chapter 5 that Jesus had to learn obedience? I'm quite certain that he was quite an awkward little... I mustn't say it, must I? But naughtiness needs to be dealt with there and then. There is no value in waiting for the father to come home and administer justice. My mother believed the scripture in Proverbs 23, which reads, from which we get the proverb, spare the rod and spare the child. And I like the GNB rendering, a good spanking won't kill him. As a matter of fact, it may save his life, and that's very true. When I think of what has happened on Wednesday at Westminster, I wonder what went wrong in that young lad's life. Growing up in the lovely town of Tunbridge Wells, as he did, a very privileged boy, and yet he went wrong. And so my mother always kept a stick at the side of her armchair by the fireside. Totally wrong today, I know, but wonderful. However, I can only remember her using that stick on one occasion. I never defied her again. Now, I'm very conscious of the fact that not all children have the benefit of loving parents, but then the Lord has a special place for them. In Psalm 27, verse 10, we read, "When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." What a special privilege you have of knowing that the Lord is going to take you up, and that's wonderful. But I'm sure it never fully takes the place of those physical hugs and kisses. In this context, I think of the Samaritan woman at the well. My guess is I try to muse through her life. You remember she had had five husbands. I can only imagine that she'd had a very troubled childhood, possibly being abused by men and therefore didn't have the sociable structure in her life whereby she could somehow establish a well-balanced marital life. We don't read that she had any children, we just don't know. But nevertheless, something had gone wrong in her life. But for her, we read that Jesus had to go through to Samaria. It wasn't just a case of, oh, let's go that way, let's go the country route. Because in actual fact, Samaria was a hostile country for him to go through. But it says he had to go that route just to meet this particular woman. And I think that is wonderful. He made a special journey just to meet her. And she was the only one to whom Jesus specifically mentioned that he was the Messiah. We don't read of that anywhere else at all. Other people said, spoke about him, of him, what he was, but in actual fact, she was the only one that Jesus mentioned to her that he was the Messiah. Then there was Mary Magdalene. There seems to be a special relationship with her and Jesus. As we read in Luke 8, that she was one of the women who travelled with Jesus during his ministry. Exactly how far she travelled, I do not know. But we read that she travelled with him and she was there. And they used their own resources to help Jesus and the disciples. Was she a wealthy woman? We don't know. But whatever it was, she just used all that she had to help him in his ministry. Women may not always have the position of being up front, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, though they don't have the gift of tongues and interpretation, etc., etc. Yet, they have a wonderful ministry that they can perform in supporting their menfolk and others in the ministry too. Not only during his travels, but especially in his darkest hour at the cross, Mary Magdalene was there all the time. In Matthew 27, it says, "There were many women there looking from a distance," and one of those, of course, was Mary. Yeah. And again, in the evening, a man from Arimathea placed his body in a tomb and rolled a stone across the entrance and went away. But Mary Magdalene was there too. They watched him where they laid him. That was Mary Magdalene. She was there all the while. Where were the disciples? They buzzed off home. Mary, in John 20, it says Mary stayed weeping. The persistence of these women, it just shows how much they loved her. They loved Jesus. And especially for Mary, she had been forgiven much, and so she loved much. And of course it was also at the when Jesus rose from the dead too, because Mary was there early in the morning. She didn't wait till 10:30 to go to worship. She was there very early in the morning. And then it was that she had that wonderful pleasure of hearing her name, Mary. So it was too that she had that joy of telling the disciples. But of course we know that the disciples didn't believe her. How hard that must have been. She would have been very thrilled with knowing that Jesus had risen from the dead, because she had had that privilege, and yet the disciples didn't believe her. Turn back the clock back a few years and we see why Mary and from Magdala loved Jesus so much. It was because during his ministry he had cast 7 demons out of her life. Truly, she loved much because she had been forgiven much. And then there was Mary, Martha and Mary, in their home with Lazarus. We read in John 11 that Jesus loved this family, and I'm quite sure he often resorted to their home. There's a wonderful place that women can have in the home. You know, men can cook. I know I can cook a dinner one day after our son was born. He was born at the beginning of the end of November, and it fell to my lot to cook a Christmas dinner. But I'm sure it never tasted the same as what Shirley would have done had she been there. They have that special touch of being able to add to the meal just that element of love. I wonder what he talked about. I'm sure there's many times that probably everyday things that he probably couldn't talk to anybody else about. Or was it just general chit-chat to get away from the crowds that there always was around him, pestering him with questions? We don't know what they talked about, but we do know that he often went there just to be away and with her. And there's something about Christian homes that have a wonderful part to play. We often criticise Martha for being cumbered about with much serving, but at least she got on with the job. She knew that she wanted to give the best for Jesus. She wanted to give all that she had to get everything right for him. And it's a wonderful privilege too to go into some of these people's homes to receive of their fellowship and also their food. While I was serving Her Majesty the Queen during my 2 years national service, away from home, it was good to have lovely Christian families where I could go and always find a welcome. After church on Sunday morning, there was always an invite to Sunday lunch. And after the midweek prayer meeting or Bible study, there was always chips and fish. It wasn't fish and chips in Wales, it's chips and fish. You must get it right. Always, though, chips and fish for supper. At one of the homes that I went to, bless them, I would very often eat them out of house and home. There was nothing left for breakfast. I have a heart of love for those couple who later went to South Africa as missionaries. And Gwen is still around in Widnes now. She's a lovely lady. When Shirley and I got married, we not only gave ourselves to the Lord, but also our home. And it has been a wonderful privilege and great pleasure for us to entertain so many hungry folks into our home. We would often invite our Sunday school children back for Sunday tea. And I remember we used to entertain a lady, used to come from some distance to our church, And while we were in Sunday school in the afternoon, she would sit there and cut up the bread and butter and lay the table ready for tea. We invited three or four lads back to Sunday tea, and once we got through the first loaf, Shirley had to go out and cut the second one to feed these brutes. No, sorry, mustn't call them that, must I? Ladies are so much better than men at providing meals, and it's a great blessing to serve others in this way. Ladies, don't be afraid to open up your homes to serve others, and who knows, you may entertain angels unawares. One of these times when I went, I had the lovely pleasure of sitting down and eating a dinner, Sunday lunch, or Sunday dinner, with the man who had actually dedicated me to be with to the Lord about 21 years ago, previously. And finally, Genesis 2 verse 18, we read, "It's not good for man to live alone. I will make him a suitable companion for him." Notice he took a rib out of Adam's side and formed a woman out of that rib. For most of creation, God spoke and it was done. But for man, he fashioned a woman, especially for him. What a wonderful place that our ladies have in our lives. The last day of creation, when he was just fashioning this woman, an angel appeared and said, "Why are you spending so much time on this one?" The Lord answered, "Have you seen my spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have over 200 movable parts, all replaceable, and able to run on Diet Coke and leftovers. Have a lap that can hold four children at a time. Have a kiss that can cure anything, from a scraped knee to a broken heart, and do everything with only two hands." The angel was astounded at the requirements. Only two hands? No way. And that's just on the standard model. That's too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow to finish. "But I won't," the Lord protested. "I'm so close to finishing. What is so close to my own heart? She always heals herself when she is sick and can work 18 hours a day." And the angel moved closer and touched the woman. "But you've made her so soft, Lord." "She is soft," the Lord agreed, "but I have made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish." "Will she be able to think?" asked the angel. The Lord replied, "Not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and negotiate." The angel then noticed something and, reaching out, touched the woman's cheek. "Oops, it looks as though you have a leak in this one. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this one." "That's not a leak," the Lord corrected. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" the angel asked. The Lord said, "The tear is her way of expressing her joy, her sorrow, her pain, her disappointment, her love, her loveliness, her grief and her pride." The angel was impressed. "You are a genius, Lord. You thought of everything. Woman is truly amazing, and she is. Women have strengths that amaze men. They bear hardships and carry heavy burdens, but they hold happiness, love and joy. They smile when they want to scream. They sing when they want to cry. They cry when they are happy and laugh when they are nervous. They fight for what they believe in. They stand up to injustice. They don't take no for an answer. When they believe there is a better solution, they go without so that their family can have. They go to the doctor with a frightened friend. They love unconditionally. They cry when their children excel and cheer when their friends get awards. They are happy when they hear about a birth or a wedding. Their hearts break when a friend dies. They grieve at the loss of a family member, yet are strong when they think there is no strength left. They know that a hug and a kiss can heal a broken heart. Women come in all shapes, sizes and colours. They'll drive, fly, walk, run, email or text you to show how much they care about you. The heart of a woman is what makes the world keep turning. They bring joy, hope and love. They have compassion and ideals. They give moral support to their family and friends. Women have vital things to say and everything to give. However, if there is one flaw in women, they forget their worth.
Thank you, Derek.